Hello everybody and welcome to episode 28 of All Your Base Podcast.
All your base are belong to us. You are on the way to the version.
I'm Cheese and Beans and you can follow me on Twitter at Jimmy2Times.
And I'm BigD7719. And you can get me on Twitter at Dandtheman7719. This is the point in the show that we remind you that we buy all our own games. We aren't influenced by companies sending us things or trying to sway or buy our opinion.
That's right, we part with our hard-earned to play the games. So we feel we're entitled to our opinions of those games. If your opinions are different, then by all means contact us via Twitter at AYBpodcast.
Or you can email us AYBpodcast@gmail.com.
That's right.
So, Jim. Tell me what's been in your console this week, or do I really need to ask?
Well, we sort of spoke off air just a little while there about kind of what my main sort of game has been this week, which I'm guessing everyone's going to be, they'll know what it is already. But I have...
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a huge leap, is it, to guess?
The same disc is still in the console, guys. But I did download I'm really crap with these whole Roman numerals things. Is it Street Fighter 4? Is it 4 that's out now?
What's the numeral?
It's a V and then a 1. That's what it looks like to me.
That's 6.
Is that 6, is it? Oh, I don't know. Guys, you
V1 is 6, yeah.
Let us know which Street Fighter it is I've been playing. I don't bloody well know. Ultra Street Fighter Roman numeral. Man, I love Street Fighter, man. I've loved this game since back in the day. The home console edition for the Super Nintendo, the Mega Drive, and the amount of cash I pumped into this arcade machine when I was a kid, scandalous amount of money. Probably could have put one of my kids through uni with the amount of money I've chucked at this game over the years. But it's arrived on the PS4, on the store. It's on there for £20, mm-hmm. You get all the kind of DLC, all the extra characters, all the add-ons, all the costumes and taunts and voices and that kind of stuff. And for £20, yeah, it's an absolute bargain of a package. Now there have been some issues with online matchmaking and I know Capcom had pulled it from their official Capcom tournament recently for the PS4, just because it was a little bit glitchy. But the game is absolutely fantastic, mate. I was playing it this morning. Finished the story on medium with Ken, who's my kind of go-to character and has been for years. Me and Ken got a bit of a history. We go way back when, 1995, when I first met this boy.
Ken's your guy.
So I've been playing that over the past couple of days, just sort of trying to get my combos back in sync, and it's been good. I can't wait till they've sorted out the matchmaking thing of this, and I'm definitely going to be taking myself online with this game. I feel I can handle myself, I can hold my own. Mortal Kombat, mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I got my ass handed to me a little bit. Wasn't so fun, but Street Fighter, the combos and stuff have pretty much remained the same since sort of Street Fighter 2 from back in, 95, 96, I think it was 95. It's all kind of stayed pretty much the same. I mean, it's got like a bit of a cell shaded effect to some of the characters in the backdrops. Looks beautiful. 2D fighter as you'd expect. Absolutely brilliant. £20, £19.99. Go out and buy that game now if you've got the spare ready to knocking around in your the old Skyrocket. And
so that's a hot. That's a whole game for £20, you say?
Whole game, £20.
What else have I just dropped £20 on that's barely even a package?
The House of Wolves, maybe?
There you go. Anyway, carry on.
I mean, that sort of leads on quite nicely to what I have been playing this week. The majority of my time has been into playing the Prison of Elders on the House of Wolves expansion pack for Destiny. It's been quite good. I'm planning on giving the level 35 a go tonight with a few people. But the Trials of Osiris. Go on, mate.
You're really running away with this now, aren't you? So you're like a, well, what I consider like a real pro at Destiny now. I feel like I'm like lagging behind you. I'm stuck at 33. Yeah. I've got nowhere in the Trials of Osiris, nowhere in the Prison of Elders. Okay. I think you're really sort of a bit of a trailblazer.
Yeah, I feel like I've kind of hit my stride a little bit, and I mean, I can tell that other people in the game, you know, obviously have taken that on board. Something I do need to kind of point out to the boys and girls, you know, I'm sure you do follow the feed on Twitter. I have been posting some pictures up on there, and I've actually done the flawless Trial of Osiris thing twice now. In fact, in two runs through it, we lost one match. But because we had like the buffer, the coins that you can use to sort of wipe out a loss, it didn't actually count. So in 18 games, lost once. So absolutely,
that's outrageous.
It. Yeah, I mean, got our tactics down. I'm playing with a couple of guys that I met through one of the listeners to the show, friends of the show, Tickle the Pink, my man Floaty Whale 02. And Bailey the boss, I want to say 11, but it might be 12. Either way, these two guys, they've got their tactics down, and really, I mean, it's that whole kind of risk and reward thing, you know. If we get down a game or two, you know, we'll kind of sit back a little bit. If we go into a 3-0 lead, you know, by that point we've got supers, we can just charge in. But yeah, bit sort of now that I've kind of done that thing, I've been to the new sort of social space, which is on Mercury, the special trials gear, which you can get. It's all kind of based on kind of Egyptian what would you call that sort of history, I guess, you know, things like
a bit of a theme.
Yeah,
to it.
It's kind of Egyptian theme to it. Yeah. So yeah, I've been through that. So my hunter's looking pretty well kitted out. My warlock even more so, because I've got the new helmet, the ram. Some of the guns that I've managed to unlock through doing this Trials of Osiris are kind of a limited edition version of the weapons that you can get through doing the trials. I mean, it's been a real good week sort of loot wise. For Destiny, what I'm finding though is because when you do the trials and you do it flawless, so that's sort of 9 wins on the bounce, that you, when you go to this kind of Mercury, you go to the social space of Mercury, there's a special chest there. When you open that chest, one of the things that you will get is a new backdrop for your sort of gamer card for your name. So where mine says kind of cheese and beans, and then my clan, which is the kind of allied brothers in arms, it's, I've actually got an exotic name tag now. And I think that people, when they see you in the tower and you've got this, you know, people know that you've done the trials and they know that you've done it flawlessly.
Yeah.
The amount of kind of friend requests I'm getting, and people just kind of coming up to me in the tower and they'll send me a message, oh, can you help us out on the trials? I only want to get to 5 wins. And it's ridiculous.
You're like a bit of a trials celebrity.
A little bit, yeah. It's what it kind of feels like. And you know, I'm quite a, I'd say a, quite a helpful person. You know, I'll jump in and kind of help out, kind of, you know, kind of where I can. But you know, yeah. I always have to kind of put, you know, my kind of friends list and my clan first, and then, you know, if I've got sort of free time after that, you know, I can help out with other people, really. But I still think that for the money, you know, it's not a lot, you know, for the money. I'm enjoying the fact that I've got this high-end gear, you know, the etheric light that you get from doing the trials and from doing like the 32 and 34 and 35 Prison of Elders. I've been able to max out some of my older gear. So, you know, Fatebringer is now 365. The Vision of Confluence is now 365. And it makes all this stuff relevant again. So rather than it just kind of sitting in the vault and coming out when you've got a nightfall with a specific burn, you know, these weapons now are now viable options, you know, once again. So it breathes a breath.
When you get to like and sort of like, you enjoy these weapons, you know, like Vision of Confluence, how many times have you gone through the Vault of Glass with using specifically that, because it's Well, it's made for that, isn't it? With the
bonus damage.
What's the word? With the Oracle damage.
Yeah, the Oracle Disruptor. Yeah, I mean that's the same with things like Corrective Measure and Hazen's Vengeance and Previous Revenge and all these weapons that really have just been sitting in the back of a cupboard really, are now becoming more kind of prevalent again. I mean, I know that when I've played Trials of Osiris, a lot of people use the Iron Banner. The sniper rifle, the spear, Ephrodite's spear or whatever it's called. I mean, I haven't got, but I mean, it kicks ass. I used my Previous Revenge or a Black Hammer. But when you've put your Previous up to 365, it makes it a viable option for going in there and really taking on some of the kind of newer weapons in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a little point which we can't really miss is that whilst we're talking about the Trials of Osiris, we were just discussing that's not really part of the House of Wolves, is it?
Not really, no. I mean,
it's effectively Iron Banner just rebranded.
Yeah, it's Iron Banner reskinned, definitely. I mean, with Iron Banner, you take out the bounties you earn, your reputation. The higher your reputation, the higher you rank, the better weapons and equipment that you can then buy. Very, very similar in that with the Trials of Osiris. The more wins you get, the more things you're able to buy, and they are of a higher level. So it's identical, really, other than the fact that you're stuck on one map for the duration of that sort of Trials of Osiris week. So last week it was on Mercury.
Yeah.
This week it's I think it's Venus this week. I mean, all they've done is kind of sort of reskinned it, really. And that's not really a bad thing, as long as everyone's aware that that's what it is, and it's not something that's new. We've been there and done it before.
Yeah. I mean, the House of Wolves itself, I mean, let's sort of do this now. The House of Wolves, I think, is pretty disappointing.
Yeah, I would go with that, mate.
The Prison of Elders... Yeah, the Prison of Elders game mode, I don't like at all. It's just, I don't even know why we're there. Like, what are we doing?
It's quite, it's quite repetitive. Like, I've played through the...
It literally just puts you in to this, like, it's basically a chamber with four doors, and you go in, and there's some monsters, and why are they even there? And you kill
it's
them,
horde mode, isn't
and
it?
Then you come out, and you do it. It is, but... Yeah, they could have at least put a story to it, or some reason, or just anything. Yeah. You got like that the fallen guy. What's his name? Like Varix. Yeah. He talks some crap to you. Like they are dead. You are not. And it's just like what's going on?
What are you talking about, guy? Give us a bit more of a give us a bit more of a clue as to kind of what's going on.
It's a prison, so. Have they captured these people, and why have they got them? Why are they alive? What are they doing with them? It's just it makes no sense, and they make no effort to explain
I think
it.
What they at least kind of expecting kind of us as the players to do these kind of cards that we've been collecting since day dot, I guess. I think if you kind of go, and I'm speculating here because I haven't actually done it. I've got quite a decent sort of grimoire score, but I don't. Know why I'm getting these cards, or I don't bother going to read them, but I know that some of the guys that I play with do, and they seem to know a lot more about the backstory than I do, so I'm guessing you kind of need to flit in and out, kind of read a little bit and then play a little bit and then read a little bit and play. But again, that's not been pointed out, that's not something that's been defined. We have not been told that. I certainly have not. I haven't got that anywhere from the game or
Yeah, it this. I mean, perhaps you can go and read about it, but I think it needs to be telling you this.
Yeah,
really.
it's a kind of the reason that you're playing a video game rather than reading a book, is because it's that kind of medium where you're involved in what you're doing, your actions directly, relate to what's going on the screen. Your actions are part of that game. Whereas with a book, you're kind of a we've mentioned this before, haven't we? Rather with a book, you're kind of a passive. almost like an observer, and you know, you're being taken along the story, and what you do has, how you read it doesn't really have any effect on how the story pans out. Whereas when you're playing a game, the idea is that you're able to kind of influence what happens in that game. You know, it would be nice
to have
a complete picture of what was going on and why you were doing certain things.
Right, with this, you literally just go into a room, kill someone. I know Destiny hasn't got a strong story, but this is just... It has no purpose at all.
It's padding, isn't it? It's padding. That's what it is.
It's not like... these monsters have broken out of the prison and you're helping to recapture them. Just anything would have been appreciated.
Well, I mean, I think that's from some of the Queen's bounties. What you've just said there is exactly that, is that these guys have escaped, you know, from the prison, or, you know, and they've kind of scattered, you know, across the kind of corners of the universe. And the idea is that you are kind of then bringing them back. And I guess that...
Well, that's the Fallen, though, isn't it? That's like Skolas and all his mates.
So I mean, that's not the Vex, and that's not, you know, the Cabal that are in there.
For me, that doesn't
really make any sense. But when you come up against like the Fallen, there, that for me kind of makes a bit of sense. The other factions, however,
the few story missions are quite interesting, which it offers you.
Yeah, but it's not enough for £20.
And so far, all of the new weapons which I've found, they only seem to have half as many upgrades on them.
Yeah, that's the reason for that is because what you're not doing is you're not upgrading the damage output. So when you get one of the newer weapons, it will already be set at 365. So what you'll be doing is you'll be upgrading the perks on it. So for instance, Third Eye. So you know the target will remain. Your radar will remain while you aim down sights. So it's really they've taken out all of those kind of damage upgrades. And if for you to focus on the perks, you know, if you will. But I mean, some of these new exotic bounties.
That's less reason for me to go and do the weeklies. Oh, definitely. And things.
But, I mean, I was talking about the weekly to a guy. When was that? Friday night, and he was saying he hasn't done the weekly for absolutely months because you know you get ascendant materials, which okay, now you can trade in for. All towards Mozart, and the Mozart you can use to buy engrams, and engrams you can use to, you know, try and get some of the newer gear when Xur turns up. However, you know, it's half an hour where it's something that you've done so many times before. It's part of that daily kind of Destiny grind that a lot of people, including myself, are kind of stuck in. You know, I might be kind of ahead in regards to kind of weapons and gear and stuff, but I'm having to grind so much more because I've got to upgrade and stuff that I've now got again. So you know, I've got gear that's maxed out which will keep me at level 34, but now I've got new gear which still only keeps me at level 34, but if I use it I don't have the perks that I've got on my old gear until I upgrade it. So it's constant grind.
Yeah. And then speaking of Xur, am I right in thinking, well, he had patience and time this weekend just gone?
That's right, he had patience and time, yep.
Which is a relatively poor sniper rifle now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's two good things about it. One, it's arc damage. And then two, you've got the active camouflage. So, you know, when you aiming down the sights, you turn invisible. So for PvP, that's a great...
If you're going to have that as a legendary...
Oh, no.
Isn't Blackhammer...
Yeah.
Arc as well?
Yeah, yeah. So Blackhammer's solar, so, you know, but, I mean... Okay. I would much prefer to have in my legendary slot a Hawk Moon or a Thorn or a Galahorn or a Truth, Icebreaker. Yep. You know.
Well, I've got the Vex, and that you know it's.
Oh, Vex is tearing up, man. Vex in the a lot of people, you know, in the Trials of Osiris, that seems to be a weapon that's really now, you know, really being used again. Now that you can put that up to 365, a lot of people are using that. For me, my setup, I'm going with a Thorn. I'm going with a Previous Revenge, which is I've upgraded to 365 using the Etheric Light. And then I will use Hunger of Crota or a Radagast Fury, which was an Iron Banner weapon. And that loadout's working really, really well for me. I know it's a little bit sweaty, you know, because with the Thorn thing, you've got the whole kind of afterburn, you know, once you hit someone sort of two or three times.
Yeah, that's a pain in the ass, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, people get me with it all the time as well. Everyone's loadouts seem to be very, very similar. Everyone's, it's just basically who's got the fastest finger. And once you've kind of picked up where the best areas for kind of sniping and the corners where you can kind of pop out with your shotgun if you're using one. I don't shotgun, I'm not a shotgun whore, or a fusion rifle. Then you've pretty much got it pegged. And like I say, the two lads, Floaty and Bailey, that I've been playing with, they've got it absolutely nailed, mate. Absolutely nailed. And I know that when I mentioned them in a tweet, I think it was last night, or it may have been the night before, they've just been getting like inundated with like friends requests and you know, messages on PSN asking them for help, and you know, oh, can you take us through trials?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Can't blame. I need somebody to sort of take me through it, because I've not had a great experience with it so far.
Well, I mean, you know, by all means, the two guys are on my list there. I'm sure that if I come in with you as well, or you know, both of them two can go through it with you, you'll get some serious loot. They're good. They're really good lads, and really know what they're doing, mate. Really know what they're doing.
Yeah. But so I think we weren't really ready to rate Destiny House of Wolves last week.
No.
Are you ready to put a score on it this week?
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna get. Or sorry, go on, mate.
Perhaps not even a score, but just like what your thoughts on it really, because I'm really disappointed. Yeah.
I mean, it's more of the same. I'm not even, you know. The original Destiny with the Vault of Glass was, you know, absolutely fantastic. Not so much the story, but for me, this whole game has been about the Vault of Glass and that game mode. I've actually taken one of the guys who he interacts with the show via Twitter, C.S. Smith. He
his tweets and your little conversations keep flashing up on my phone.
So basically, he'd sent a message to the show sort of saying, oh, you know, where can I go to meet people for raids and stuff? And I'd sort of said, well, you know, if you add us, then I'm sure, you know, we'll be able to take you through, you know, at least once kind of thing. Anyway, it get back to me again saying, well, he's got Destiny on the PS3. He didn't really want to double dip on it and, you know, that kind of thing. I think my words of encouragement swayed him, and he went out and he parted with his coin, picked it up on the PS4. The other day, I'm sitting there, I don't know what I was doing. I was going through some bounties or something. Anyway, he popped up on the screen, invites me to a chat. Really nice bloke. We had a bit of a chat, and looking through his gear and stuff, he didn't really have the best stuff. He was a level 27, but just a level 27, I think. He had a legendary sniper rifle, and I think an exotic helmet, but the rest of it wasn't too great. So I put the word out and messaged a few of the lads that were on. Saying, you know, this guy was looking to do the Vault of Glass for the first time. So we took him through it on hard, and unfortunately he wasn't able to get the Fatebringer or the Vex, but he got himself some decent loot. He got two or three pieces of armour, a couple of weapons as well, one of them being, I think, the Vision of Confluence, and I think he got Corrective Measure as well. So he did really well out of the raid. They blasted him up to level 28. Once he's leveled up that gear, he's going to be a 29, nearly 30, I think. So it's good, man. It's good to kind of get on and play with the listeners and the people that sort of interact with the show. You know, guys, we've said it before.
Of course.
You know, send us you know, friends request. You know, you can get me on PSN, cheese underscore the letter N underscore and beans, and Dan.
Yeah, Big D 7719. Really doesn't need spelling out, does it? So I think with the House of Wolves, I don't particularly like it, but I'm still playing it, and I will probably buy the next one regardless. Yep. I don't know. It's a bit of a catch-22, isn't it? Really.
I mean, something else that it's done as well, which is something that I don't particularly like, is that we already had the kind of 6-man fire teams for the raids, which I felt were always a little bit restrictive. Like the clan that I'm in, there were always people that would get on at a certain time, and they would go through the raids, and then there would be kind of the sort of stragglers, me myself being one of them, that wouldn't quite get on at the same time. A lot of the guys in the clan are from Scandinavia, so they're an hour ahead of us. So kind of 7 o'clock for us here, when I'm sort of getting the kids ready for bed and stuff and having dinner or whatever. you know, for them it's 8 o'clock and that's when they're starting to get on a game. And by the time I got on, 8 o'clock our time, 9 o'clock for them, they'd already gone through the raid sort of, you know, two or three times, and they're in a bit of a stride, and you know, they were sort of set in that sort of team, you know, for the night.
Of course.
So,
yeah.
You know, it then became a little bit difficult to kind of dislodge someone, or to, you know, for the next week, you know, trying to get on to, it didn't always work. So, I've just lost my train of thought. How annoying is that? I don't really know where I was going with that, mate, to be honest. I'm really
I think you're talking about the restrictive size fire teams.
Right, mate, yeah.
Probably heading towards the Prison of Elders, the fact that it's only three people.
You're right on track with me, mate. I'm glad that someone's thinking. I'm clearly not. Yeah, and that, see, you're now getting kind of micro teams within micro teams of clans. So it's quite restrictive with it being six. And even more so now that it's three. So what you're kind of finding is that you have kind of little clicks. I mean, again, I'm just talking about from a clan point of view, is that you get sort of little clicks in clans anyway, you know, people that kind of know people that maybe have joined the clan at the same time and that kind of thing. And now that's kind of, you know, fracturing things even further, where you now have sort of smaller teams within that small team, which, you know, I think a few people, I'm not talking for myself here, because I kind of bounce around a little bit, although I play with the clan. You know, I've got the guys that I kind of know in real life, and then kind of another group of lads who from up north, you know, with the Shaolin Monkeys and stuff, and then although I've not been with them for a little while, I need to do that. Pikachu Boy, by the way, deserves a bit of a shout out. We got an email from him.
Thanks for that email. I can't say I agree with any of it, but yeah, thanks still for writing it in.
Try, if we can get on when you're sober, mate, that would be lovely.
Try and drink less, type more.
I don't know, I mean, his spelling's always quite good. I think his spelling's probably better than mine when I'm piddled, but it's nice stuff that kind of, again, you know, the interaction with the show, and the, you know, the fact that the people that are listening are kind of contacting us and letting us know their opinions, you know, is always good.
I say that's what you want, but yeah, his hatred for the Vault of Glass is it's bizarre. Each their own, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I was there when he was playing that Vault of Glass, so I kind of remember just how frustrating it kind of was for him, and I think at that time, a lot of the other guys that were kind of there had done it before, or if not, had kind of looked upon tactics and stuff and were kind of aware of what they were doing. My boy Chu, he's more of a kind of sort of team deathmatch kind of player. You know, camping's not cheating, Chu. Camping's not cheating. But, you know, he's more like yourself with a kill-death ratio and that kind of thing. And I think... The different kind of objectives to do was, you know, was very kind of throwing for him at that time, and you know, he said, and he, you know, he stuck to his word. We've messaged him a few times before about trying to get him in, even on a Crota raid, and he doesn't want a bar of it. But you know, that's each to their own, isn't it? You know, if he, certain people are going to prefer PvP, other ones PvE. Now with the whole Trials of Osiris thing, and you know, I'm kind of I've got a foot in both camps at the minute, which I didn't have before the House of Wolves come out. So for me, that at least, that's what the House of Wolves has brought to kind of my gaming, in that it's made the PvP more accessible, and is, I guess, also shown me that I'm actually not a bad PvP player.
It sounds like it, if you've perfected it twice.
I'm going to be trying to do it for a third time tonight. So you know, we've done it with the Warlock, we've done it with the Hunter, with the Titan.
Yep.
Looking to do it with the Hunter tonight, and I guess we'll see how that goes.
Sounds good. Right, let's, because time's getting on, let's sort of, a bit out of order, what I've been playing. Obviously, the disappointing House of Wolves that I've mentioned, but Mario Kart 8 is such a good game. I am so happy with this.
I've been trying to blag my wife. She's not having a bar of it. She really ain't.
It's hard, isn't it?
Well, I want a Wii U, sorry. It's for that game only for me. That would be the only game I would play on it. Not to rule out anything else that's on there, because I know that there are other good games on there, but I really, really want to play Mario Kart.
It's really good. I I like to think I'm being to learn a lot of the tracks, so like Yoshi Circuit and things, you know, that really technically challenging track. I know the corners now, things like Tick Tock Clock, and it's fantastic.
It's a real racer. I mean,
also, whilst
for me, sorry, Danny, yeah. It's a real racer. I mean, I know you've got the combative side to it, you know, with the shells and the banana skins and the boxes and that kind of stuff. But for me, it's a proper racing game. I take everything else out of it. It's a solid racer as well as being a fun game.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Also, on Wii U, we've had Splatoon launched very recently, yeah. Which looks really good. I'm going to shop around for it. I looked at pre-ordering, but without any real incentive to pre-order, I'm not going to do it just for the sake of it and the hype. So I'll shop around for this. Fingers crossed we get hold of this. But it's like a first-person shooter.
Yep.
Except it's not about killing, interestingly, which is sort of the Wii U's mantra. Yeah. I'd recommend anybody who's remotely interested just look it up, because it looks like so much fun.
I mean, I'm a member of Club Nintendo or whatever it's called these days, and I've had a few emails through about this game. It looks really interesting. There's been quite a buzz on Twitter about this game. So for me, I'm kind of going to be sitting and waiting for this Wii U to kind of magically appear. I might have to just kind of buy it on the sly and pretend that I found it.
It'll come. I'm sure you can chop a few things in and get hold of one.
Yeah, yeah.
And then probably the last thing that I really want to mention this week is a game that for me is very plausibly going to be replacing Destiny in my console for the foreseeable future. Okay. And that's The Elder Scrolls Online, yes. Tamriel Unlimited, yeah. Which I can't stop calling Oblivion. So whenever I do refer to Oblivion, just assume that that's what I mean.
Yes.
The more I read about this, the more excited I get. So all 9 provinces of Tamriel. So whereas in Morrowind was just Morrowind, Skyrim was just Skyrim, and Oblivion was just Cyrodiil, I think. I'm not great with the lore of Elder Scrolls, okay. But I think that's about right. This time you've got all 9 provinces. So you've got the mountains of Skyrim, the volcanoes and lava of Morrowind, you've got the deserts. It's huge. It's absolutely massive. And the online aspect of it, so there's this huge war that's going on, and you're going to pick your allegiance. Yeah. Sort of similar to Skyrim, there was a war. I forget the two sides of this war. But you could sort of, almost as like a side quest, sort of take part in this war. And it didn't really matter what side you picked.
Yeah.
But it just added to that whole like tension of it. And I really cannot wait for this. I'm reading more, I'm seeing more. They've really tuned it up from the sort of lukewarm reception it got on PC. I think this could be the next big thing that's gonna dump Destiny for me, because the House of Wolves has been a big letdown. So I am now ready for something to
get your teeth into.
You know, to sort of to move on to it. I didn't really like Dragon Age Inquisition. I haven't got round to playing The Witcher or Bloodborne, but yeah, I think June 9th is going to be the time to move on from Destiny. Yeah.
Well, I've actually got a game I should be arriving on Wednesday, which is Tropico 5, sort of a Sim City style game. This is for the PS4. You kind of play the dictator of an island. Very sort of, I think it's sort of loosely based on Cuba, but it looks absolutely brilliant, mate. If you've not seen anything of this game, check it out on YouTube. At the minute, it's a bit steep on PSN at $39.99. I managed to get a copy on eBay with the DLC codes intact for £20.
Okay, so that's very good.
Yeah, bit of a world builder. I'm looking forward to this arriving on Wednesday.
That should be good. So see if you manage to actually play it, or it just Sits gathering dust.
Probably gathering dust, mate. But, you know, I'm making the effort. That's what counts.
No, so yeah, anybody with any sort of pre-order bonuses for... I was about to say Oblivion. Yep. The Elder Scrolls Online, then let us know. Because, you know, if you're pre-ordering for a reason, then that's fine. That's great. You know, let's get extra content. Let's get it cheap. But I need a reason. I'm not just going to pre-order for the sake of it. And I know we've done this to death, so I'll not bank on too much. But, yeah, I'm really looking forward to Oblivion. to the Elder Scrolls Online. I did it again. There you go. So, I think that's it, mate. Should we call it a night?
Let's do it, because I'm bursting for the bathroom.
Perfect. Right. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week. Guys.